morning. May it please the
Novoselsky.
Let me begin by acknowledging an error and apologizing. When I did the reply brief, I had suggested that Ms. Stevens lacked standing because no relief was sought against her.
Well, what?
No relief. I apologize.
Speak a little louder.
In the reply brief, as my opponent correctly pointed out, I said that Ms. Stevens lacked standing because the case had been resolved as to her. When the money was paid to her, it was done through my attorney, who apparently in the letter said, we reserve our right upon reversal to try to have the money back. I hadn't seen the letter. When that was pointed out to me in motion practice, I acknowledged that it was an error, apologized to the court and opposing counsel. I don't know if that got to this court prior to the argument, so I wanted to explain to the court that that section of the brief should no longer be considered. I apologize if I caused any confusion by that. Having said that, let me try to turn to what I believe are the issues. This matter was removed not as an existing proceeding, as the district court judge was told. It was not removed based on what was a case several years old, which was in its ancillary stage. There was a petition filed by a non-party, Christina Zavonka, to intervene in a 137 motion that was pending before the state court. That's a motion which...
We understand that, Mr. Novoselsky, but there are a whole bunch of problems, starting with the rule that the only people who can remove a case are the defendants, which no defendant filed a notice of removal here, and the only way defendants can remove is for all of them to join the notice of removal. So there are no defendants who removed, let alone all defendants. And, of course, it has to be done within 30 days of the suit being filed, and that certainly didn't happen either.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You know, these are pretty fundamental points about removal, and it's deficient on all of these, and some more.
I agree with you on the face of that, and if I may, Your Honor, and I've been before you many times, and I'm not trying to cut you off, but I would respectfully suggest that the analysis may be flawed. Maybe. I didn't remove the matter was pending. Actually, this particular case was pending for years. No request.
Were you a defendant in this suit?
No.
The statute says defendants can remove. It doesn't say lawyers can remove.
The petition.
You want us to ignore the statute?
No, sir, I don't. I really don't. What was filed was a request to make me a party. The petition to intervene says I want, on behalf of Christina Zavonka, to pursue him not strictly under 137, but for causes of action for conduct that they believe impacted various rights of theirs. I didn't have the luxury of waiting to see.
To intervene,
yes,
filed by Zavonka, does not make a lawyer a party, let alone make a lawyer a defendant.
Judge, we have, and I don't want to belabor it, we have a fundamental disagreement. I don't always agree with the court.
Fundamental disagreement here. One of us is using the language of the statute, and the other wants to ignore the language of the statute.
No, sir.
That's why you got sanctioned.
Judge, I would respectfully suggest to the court that given the intervention petition, which sought to make me a party, and had it been granted, I would have become a party, because I would no longer be trying to justify the original pleadings, but I would now have to justify conduct outside the case in a new complaint. Yes, the language of the statute says a defendant. Had the petition been granted, I would have been a defendant.
Let's ignore all of that.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't hear that.
Let's assume that the petition had been granted. Let's assume that it made you a defendant.
Yeah.
How does that make the case removable? Right? There's a new 30-day window only when a case newly becomes removable.
Yes,
this case had been removable from the day it was filed because the plaintiff is Romanian and the defendants all are citizens of Illinois. How does it become removable when, in your view, a citizen of Wisconsin joins?
I wasn't a party. The original lawsuit
You're not listening.
Yes, sir.
The original lawsuit had a Romanian as a plaintiff and citizens of Illinois as defendants. That lawsuit is removable the instant it is filed.
You are
thinking that MB Financial, being from Illinois, that their citizenship counts. But it's a party as a guardian of Zvonka, so MB Financial's citizenship is Romanian for this purpose.
And it was filed by the Romanian, if you will. I understand the court's analogy. The Romanian was the plaintiff. A plaintiff can't file in state court and remove it.
Look,
so it was not removed. It could have been filed in federal court.
Mr. Novoselsky, maybe this serves no purpose.
Okay.
I'm trying to follow the statute, and you aren't. Statute says a new 30-day window opens when a suit becomes removable. Wasn't removable before, becomes removable.
Mm-hmm.
This lawsuit was removable the day it was filed. The Romanian plaintiff, Illinois defendants. The defendants could remove that lawsuit the instant it was filed. So this lawsuit didn't become removable because of intervention.
It could have been removed by the original defendants. They chose not to. I agree with that.
They're the only people who can ever remove any lawsuit.
Yes, sir. What we had, though, was intervention by a new party against what was, until that point, a non-party. I think we can all agree that being the lawyer for the plaintiff didn't make me a party. When a party comes in who is not part of it, moves to intervene, because if they were already part of it, they didn't need to intervene. They file a petition to intervene saying, I want to become a party, and I want to add, I don't want to simply file an action saying that Mr. Novoselsky did A, B, and C as a lawyer. I want to bring my own cause of action against him for other matters.
Do you really want to pursue this? I mean, it is often said that somebody who argues his own case has a fool for a client. You're about to take a decision of the district court, which financially adverse to you, does not have the ability for substantial publicity, and turn it into a decision by a U.S. Court of Appeals that says that you fundamentally don't know how to practice law.
Judge, perhaps the way to answer this is to be blunt. I've had this decision beaten over my head by these people in 30 to 40 different lawsuits that have nothing to do with it. I've had it attached, a copy of the district court opinion attached. And in fact, I had attached in a district court proceeding against me where the district court judge struck it.
It can get worse.
Judge, after practicing for this court for a long time, I know better than to, one of the two of us is right, and since Your Honor is the court.
What is the current status of the Illinois disciplinary proceeding?
It hasn't been heard. My attorneys have moved to dismiss. The hearing chair has requested a conference to determine, I think the phrase he used is, whether in light of what we believe have been repudiation of the charges by the complaining witnesses, the administrator in good faith can pursue them. We had a motion to remove the statements from the website because they have been repudiated. The chair last week said, I don't believe I have the power to order that. I suggest you take this up with the full commission or with the Supreme Court of the State of Illinois, which we're drafting right now. And I will defer to this court. If the court believes that I'm in error in this, I will withdraw the appeal. I ask leave to withdraw it right now. Unfortunately, what will happen is I'm then going to get a complaint filed saying that by filing this appeal, I acted illegally, improperly, or unethically, where I honestly believe it was simply a disagreement with the district court on whether or not I had a right to remove the case. And yes, Your Honor, I wasn't happy with the fact that this, Your Honor is correct, it was a decision that wouldn't normally be published. It has been published by opposing counsel and used affirmatively and in fact has been stricken by Judge Duryagan when one of the attorneys attached it and says, this man doesn't deserve any hearing before the court. He's a bad human being. Look what Judge Leinaweber says.
Is that what these attachments are for, to discredit you as opposed to whatever the merits are?
Yeah. I mean, they've been attached in cases that have nothing to do with anything. So this is being paraded around town. It's being attached primarily by Mr. Zadakis, who's not here today, Mr. Gentleman, who's not even part of this case, and yet attaches it to everything, and has gone so far as to say the fact that he's been accused by registration, regardless of whether it's proven or not, is such that this court should not permit him to defend himself. He's a bad person. The court should strip him of his powers to be in this court. In fact, if you look at this record, I tendered the $10,000. It wasn't money. I tendered that to the registry. Mr. Zadakis told Judge Leinaweber he shouldn't be permitted to do this. In fact, you should bar him from the practice of law. Look at what's going on at registration. I would never, I think I've been in front of this court enough, whether a court agrees or disagrees with my views. I'm not stupid. I would never. I would have paid the $10,000 and chalked it up. But if you look at what's the so-called floodgates in this record, they subpoenaed my son's condominium doorman to prove that I really don't live in Wisconsin. Even Judge Leinaweber said, that's ridiculous. So we had, the record is like this, not because of what I filed, but because my opponents seemed to believe that this court should be used as a means to win whatever they want, whatever case they want. You have the Illinois courts that have held that the attorney who represents this child has a conflict. The appellate courts found it. And yet, I'm helpless. I'm here only to try to protect myself. I'm represented by the former head of registration, by Mr. Tai, who's an experienced lawyer, has been before this court. The reason I appealed, and I'm going to be very candid with this court, is I was getting beat over the head with this decision within 2 days. It was being attached and sent around to everybody who practices. It was appearing in envelopes with no return address. This is the worst form of libel. And if the court wants, as an officer of this court, I'll give you the transcripts of the complaining witnesses who repudiated all the charges. In fact, they didn't even know why they were brought. I'm not going to speculate as to the cause. I'm not trying to open a door here, but I'm responding to Chief Judge Easterbrook's inquiry as to the status of these. I'm defending myself as I'm entitled to. I've given the panel a list of character witnesses, which include reviewing court judges, members of the commission itself, presiding judges. So I don't know what else to do. This was filed only because of the attacks on me using this document. I presented what I thought was a good faith argument because I didn't know what else to do when I was served with this motion to intervene by somebody who had already filed 8 separate lawsuits, not just against me, but against the chief judge, against sitting judges, alleging conspiracy, criminal conduct under oath, claiming there were secret meetings that he wasn't at. And his position being, I have a right to perjure myself. It's astonishing. Judge Leinaweber, in his original decision, questioned why some of these people weren't in jail for perjury and says, you know what? They're not before my court. So it's a pretty bad situation. I've been practicing 40 years. I'm a former president of a bar association. I've done substantial work pro bono for the Illinois judiciary, including issues dealing with retirement statute, separation of powers. I'm aware that this court has been made aware of what's going on. It's public. It shouldn't be. Illinois is one of the few states that publishes accusations. And they don't publish your defense. Has this hurt my practice? Absolutely. I have people who won't refer work to me because they say, Jesus, Dave, look at these accusations. You coerced your client to settle a case. The client, when they was asked, said, absolutely not. He told me, gave me all the time in the world to read it. Well, why does it say that he gave it to you that day? I don't know. I didn't draft the charges. How does one deal with that? You know, the late Clark Clifford, who I apologize, I don't remember what administration he was in, was he was an attorney. He was accused of stealing from a client. He went to trial. At the end of the case, he won it, and the media said, you must be happy that you've been vindicated. He goes, what court do I apply to regain my reputation? Will I ever regain my reputation? My lawyers told me, David, you're going to win. They don't have anything. It's been repudiated. And I said, fine, what do I do now? How do I undo all these accusations? How do I take it out of... You appreciate Justice... I'm sorry, Judge Easterbrook raising it. We don't all pretend it isn't there. How do I, some years down the line, when hopefully I'm still practicing, appear before this court without that taint in the background? It's always going to be there. I don't know how to address it. So I assure the court this wasn't done simply because I'm too cheap to pay Tim. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Mr. Golinkin.
Good morning, Your Honors. Scott Golinkin on behalf of the appellees. I'm going to be brief because it appears to me that the court is kind of has a fairly good sense of what happened in the district court here. I just want to make two points quickly, if I might. One is, I think, a factual correction, which might be important to the court's analysis, which is Mr. Novoselsky has asserted that the petition to intervene would have created a new cause of action, but it wouldn't have. It was, except for participating in the sanctions awards, if any, which was a supplemental proceeding and not a new cause of action. The only thing that the petition asked for, it didn't even ask for it, it simply announced that it was, at some point in the future, going to file another lawsuit. And I don't think it's proper to bootstrap that announcement of some future action as somehow becoming then part of this particular case that was going on. The other thing I'd like to say is this. I feel for other professionals who are facing difficulties in their professional careers. It's not an easy situation, I would imagine, to be in. But I think it's important to bring this back to the focus of what happened here. Whatever Mr. Novoselsky's troubles are with the ARDC or anybody else are things that unfortunately he'll have to deal with. But what happened in this case and what he did in this proceeding, that's the consequence of behaving and the conduct that he exhibited here. And I don't even know, and I don't think it's part of any of the ARDC proceedings or anything else, but if you end up being sanctioned for misconduct in a federal court, there are going to be consequences, and you'll have to live with that. The last thing I would say is that I appreciate his candid admission that the real reason for filing this appeal was not really because the district court was wrong, not really because he was right, but because he's trying to protect himself in other proceedings and trying to protect his business elsewhere. And while that's understandable, it's not a legal reason to take a frivolous removal and sanctions that are legitimate and then appeal them to a higher court in hopes that it might help you somewhere else. And it's not good just because it's not legal, but because then the other parties who have to respond to this have incurred time and money having to respond to the appeal, which really, I think, in my view, does not have a sufficient legal basis. So as difficult and as sad as it might be for Mr. Novoselsky, nonetheless, for those of us who have to deal with it in this case, I think the appropriate response is that the district court should be affirmed. And I would also say that I think under 1447C and this court's decision in Garby, the court can award additional fees for the appeal so that the appellees, if the court finds in our favor, that the appellees will be made whole with respect to all the time and effort that went into dealing with an appeal that wasn't better than the original removal. And unless the court has or any members have any questions, I'm finished.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.